Amen. And that this morning, if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to open up into Proverbs 31. I want to take it from a different twist, though. So I'll get to it in a moment here. And that as we do that. But before we do, I want to share just a little bit. You know, on Mother's Day, many children will try to do something special for their moms. You know, like giving them a personal letter to express their love. I've written down a few of examples of young kids and what they actually wrote. So the first one was this girl named Angie. Angie is an 8-year-old, and this is what she wrote. She says, "Dear Mother, I'm going to make dinner for you on Mother's Day. It's going to be a surprise. P.S. I hope you like pizza and popcorn." Then Robert wrote a card for his mom, and he said, "I got you a turtle for Mother's Day. I hope you like the turtle better than the snake I got you last year." Or Elaine, she writes into her mom and says, "Dear Mother, I wish Mother's Day wasn't always on Sunday. It would be better if it were on Monday so we wouldn't have to go to school." Or little Diana, she writes, "I hope you like the flowers I got you for Mother's Day. I picked them myself when Mr. Hearth wasn't looking." And then there was the one by Carol. "Dear Mother, here are 2 aspirins. Have a happy Mother's Day." You see, what are really the kids trying to say? They're just trying to say in their own way that they appreciate their mother. You can tell from their letters that they love their mothers. Well, their gifts weren't exactly perfect. You know, they were trying in their childlike way to show their mother how much they loved her. See, in here in Proverbs chapter 31, we have a king who's trying to do the same. This portion of scripture, and that has either been a source of strength and encouragement, or has been a heavy weight on women and mothers in general. Why? Because it's pretty hard to live up to a list, isn't it? Well, let me pause away from mums for a second. Men, is it pretty hard to live up to the honey to-do list? No one's going to say yes. Please don't. I'll put my hand up because I'll get in trouble later, but don't you do that yet. But it's true. And that's really sometimes when, ladies, you read this list or when someone starts going over, most ladies don't say, "Yes, nailed that. Yes, I got that one." But most times what happens is they say, "Oh, wow, fell short on that. Wow, okay, that's not where I'm at." And the enemy uses something that's meant to inspire and to encourage and to draw you forward. He uses it to distract, weigh down, because he is the father of lies and he's out to rob, kill, and destroy. But here in this portion, I'm not going to read the famous part from verse 10 on, but I want to focus on the first few verses. You see, this is a king, and that who's really trying to do the same thing as these kids did. He's trying to love on his mom. He's trying to encourage her. He's trying to speak to her. And oftentimes when we look at this, we skip those first few verses. You know, we start reading in Proverbs 31:10, where it says, "A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies." You see, in the belief that this is where this section of Proverbs begins, but it really isn't. It starts before that. You see, the famous section of Proverbs that tells us about godly mothers actually starts with King Lemuel repeating an oracle, or literally a burden or passion that his mother had for him. His mother had poured into him and spoke into him and loved on him so much so that he's now echoing towards his mom honor and blessing. See, reality is this. The Bible tells us that by faith, we can speak things into existence. In the world that we live, we feel all the time that the only way to get ahead, the only way is, I got to be real. I'm going to tell you exactly what I see because you just need to hear this, because if you don't hear this, why? Because we hear the words, the truth will set you free. Now, can I just pause and back one step from that to say that is absolutely correct. God's truth will set you free. Not your opinion. Your opinion won't set me free. In fact, your opinion to your mom or to someone else most times doesn't set them free, but actually binds them even more. Why? Because they can't live to your expectations. Unless you're going to come and support them and come behind them 24/7 and do this and do that and help and make it happen. It's kind of like the parent, you know, that had a dream. I always want to be that ballerina, but I never quite made it. Other things got pressing. Stuff happened at home. I had to end up being the mom or the dad and step in. And so then their expectations get dropped onto the child. You need to be a ballerina. They push, they push, they push, and the child inside has never, ever wanted to be a ballerina. But that expectation is so high. And as long as that mom or that dad keep pushing, keep supporting, keep putting money in, keep doing, then it keeps going. But then all of a sudden it comes to a time when that child now comes of age that all of a sudden they say, man, I've never liked this and I don't want to do it. It's heartbreaking. So yes, the truth will, God's truth will set you free. That's what we need to remember. And so when we understand that and we open our hearts to that and we see that, then all of a sudden we realize, wait a second here. There's something about God's truth. And that's where he says in that scripture, if I back to where I was before, to come back to that is, he says, by faith, we can speak things into existence. We've talked about this many times, that the power of the tongue is life and blessing and cursing. So there's like a double-edged sword, that double-edged that comes out of our mouth, depending on what? Is it depending on the word that you say? No. It's dependent on your heart, the attitude of your heart. Last week we talked about it's all in the mind. We talked about attitude check. Why? Because when God judges us and he looks at us, and he looks at our lives, he doesn't go by the outward appearance. But he goes to the heart. Because you know and I know, we can do everything right and still be wrong. Because our heart's not connected. Our heart's not in it. So coming back to that part, by faith we speak in. God has given you the ability to speak life and blessing. And this is what King Lemuel is doing right here. He is speaking life and faith into his mom. Why? Because his mom has invested so much into him. He's so overwhelmed by his mom. He's writing his little note to his mom. And he starts to begin to declare this out. And this is where we get into this Proverbs 31. He was reciting the advice that she had gave him when he was younger. He was repeating the things she felt he needed to know as a good boy. It was her burden for him. She cared about how he lived his life. You see, in those first few verses, the king says his mother told him to, if you look at verse 3, to be careful who he dates and marries. Don't hang out with questionable women. And that here, you see this part in this first few verses before he gets into that the list and he goes on about how much he loves his mom and what a godly woman should look like and that. He comes into the part of saying, wow, you know, my mom was so amazing. There's some things my mom invested in me that have now shaped my entire life. And the first one is be very careful, and that when you're going to date or marry, and don't date or hang out with unquestionable women. So here's a mom that's feeling the weight on him, and she's speaking life. And here he is now older. He is now a king. He's moving in this place. And what does he hear echoed behind him? Moms, please hear from this king that your children listen to you more than they think. They can say 1,000 no's to you in the heat of the moments. But when you're not around, guess what? That word of life that you've been speaking into them, that word of wisdom and that direction, it will live in the back of their hearts and mind forever. Why? Because you planted a good seed. And good seeds will grow. Even if you don't see it right now, by faith, we speak it and call into fruition. If your child's not serving the Lord right now, and that I say it's okay, I don't mean it's okay, but you know what I'm saying? That it's all right. By faith, just call that seed forth. God, Lord, I remember these moments. God, I remember this, God, and this touch and this moment. God, connect the dots for them, and Lord, bring them in. Bring them in, Lord. Draw them in. Don't lose heart. Don't lose faith. But by faith, speak into existence and draw it forward. Then in verse 4 and 5, and that you see the part where he says, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, not for kings to drink wine, for the rulers to crave beer, lest they drink and forget what the law decrees and deprive all the oppressed of their rights. So here all of a sudden, you know, not only is a mom saying, hey, you know, don't hang around questionable women in verse 3, she's saying don't drink alcohol beverages as it could cloud your judgments in verse 4 and 5. In other words, here's a mom that are passing on some things of wisdom, knowing that one day her kid, her baby boy, is now going to be king. Listen to me. Every one of your sons, every one of your daughters, they're a king and a queen of their own home. They're a king and a queen in their workplaces, wherever they might be. They might not be the CEO, but whatever they're doing, they're the king and queen in there. And listen to me. It's really important that they understand and that simple things that you're passing on to them. Don't belittle that godly wisdom and advice that you're passing on to your kids. It's important. Even if they don't live it, even if they don't grab it in that moment, it'll be always there as an echo in the back of their heart. And because he was king, to be sure to stand up for those who couldn't stand up for themselves. Verse 8 and 9 reads, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. I don't know about you, but those are three pretty good pieces of nuggets of advice that could be passed down. Now, she might have also said a few other things when he grew up, like stand up straight, brush your teeth, eat your vegetables, clean your room. But those didn't make the cut. It was these pieces of advice that stuck with him as the most important throughout his life. They just kind of grabbed hold. Now listen to me. You might think this is the most important. Eating green peas. If you eat green peas, you are going to be the best. And your kid might not think that that is the one. But that's where you have to trust Holy Spirit. Right? Trust Holy Spirit. You speak, you share, you do what God has placed in your heart as you make those investments in your grandkids, in your kids, into the people around you, into your family, into your spouse, whatever it might be. You make that investment, but at the end of the day, what sticks as the most important is not your job. That's Holy Spirit's. And Holy Spirit will take that, sometimes the most weird and the different ones. Like, why that one? But it'll stick, and it'll be exactly what they need for their life to help guide and bring that course of their life into the place that God has called them to be. The thoughts his mother gave him. What did your mom tell you? Or moms and ladies here today, what do you want others to remember? What imprint do you want to leave on their lives? Listen to me, it's never too late. As long as there's breath in the lungs, it's never too late. I don't care how old a child is. It's never too late to love on them. It's never too late in that to speak life into them, to speak blessing over them. Amen? Never too late. Now, you can't turn around and go into your son's home and that who is now 40 and go in and treat him like he's 11, right? I mean, that doesn't work, right? But you know and I know, and that roles might change, but you'll always be mom. Even if you made a few mistakes along the way, you'll always be mom. Because that's a position that God gave, and no one can take it away. Whether it's recognized at that moment, whether it's not, it doesn't matter. It's always recognized by your Heavenly Father. And I've shared this little phrase before. It's always right to do what's right, even if it doesn't turn out right for you. Why? Because the Word of God tells us everything we do it unto the Lord. See, when God gives us children, He answers a lot of questions in our lives, even ones we may not have thought of even asking. Questions like, what should I do with my life? Oh, a lot of young adults say that all the time. What should I do with my life? And then in no time, they get married and they have kids. They now know what they're doing, right? God gives us children and helps answer a lot of questions. What's it like to give my body up for someone? Moms. In today's world, we live in a really wicked world. We live in a world that is very broken, very selfish and self-centered. But as mothers, you echo and scream against that whole part. Whether you physically can share your body and that, or you physically could not, is not the issue. But that place of a lady and as a mother and that part of that care that you give and that idea, what you've done is you have echoed across the whole world of what it means to sacrifice yourself. For some, first baby, it's a little change. Second baby is a little bit more. To some, first baby changes everything in the body. Yet at the middle of all of that, if you ask the average mom, none of them would say, I regret it. I never would do it again. Every one of them would say, you know, it might have been tough. And some here today, Mother's Day, as we're celebrating, this could be the hardest day for you. Hardest day for you. Because some of the dreams or some of the things that you had or your body just took such a drastic turn that you are struggling now in many different ways, and that's your lot that you are just faced with and you live with because you had a child. For some here today, that it's that broken part of parents should never have to bury their child. And you're faced with that part. But be encouraged and that the Lord knows these things. He knows what you're facing. He knows what you're going through. He knows, and that if you've got brokenness in your life and now it just seems like everything is pulled apart and the kids are kind of in the middle, God knows. He knows. Not only your kids are His first, you're His. You're His daughter and you're His son and He cares for you. Not only the question that God gives us children helps answer, you know, how attached am I am to privacy? I mean, man, try and go to the washroom when you got a whole bunch of little kids running around. You pretty much might as well leave the door open, right? How selfish am I when giving feelings forced upon me? Does my faith hold up during the third night or third week or third year of sleep deprivation? Or is it a product of my ability to string together rational thoughts when I'm so exhausted? Do I trust my husband as a father? Things that we don't think about, but in when kids come, all of a sudden, now we got to think differently. How weird am I about certain foods? What strong opinions do I have about clothing, sleepovers, education, extracurricular activities? You see, things that we don't really think about in normal life, but when you have a kid, all of a sudden now you got to think differently. Everything changes. Young couple bouncing off the life of the world, travel, do everything they want, and all of a sudden you add a little child in the mix, and now all of a sudden they got to juggle. How am I going to do this? What am I going to do? I share with people all the time, I said, you know what? Marriage is the great first kick against selfishness. Now all of a sudden I've got to share the covers. Now all of a sudden I want to turn the heat down and my wife wants to turn it up. Right? And all of a sudden now in the middle of this, we got to figure it all out. But then when you have children in the mix, any bit of selfishness that's left, that's where it starts to get depleted and gone. And it only becomes difficult when we resist and fight it. But this is a part of God's plan in our lives, for less of me and more of him. I must decrease. I must die to myself. Ladies, mums, it's a call from God for you to step into your role and to be a mom. You have all heaven's resources behind you. You don't have to give up. You don't have to feel overwhelmed when everything seems closing in. I feel like I'm failing. I don't know what to do and everything's there. You have all of heaven's resources behind you because it's a calling from God to be a mother. Here are five important qualities of Christian motherhood. I know I could read on in Proverbs 31, but I'm just going to sum up five important qualities in a Christian mother. One is unconditional love. Unconditional love. I'm not talking about blind love. Johnny's on death row. Horrendous, all these things. And mom's, he's innocent. He did nothing. I'm not talking about blind love. Going into the principal's office. My kid's an angel. When you know at home, oh, he's a holy terror, you know. I'm not talking about a blind love. But I'm talking about unconditional love. I might not like what you're doing. What you're doing might be wrong. And you know what? It can't happen this way. But at the end of the day is you need to know more than any of the opinions, any of the thoughts, any of the stuff and nuggets I want to give you. You need to understand, I love you, period. Not because you do this, not because you do that, not because you help here or you help here, not because you behave or this. I love you unconditionally. That's one of the greatest qualities of a Christian mom. The second is that sacrificial life. I mean, not much has to be said there because every mom sacrifices huge. It goes unnoticed. When the Bible says that everything we do, we really do it unto the Lord, and it's not for the pat on the back. And if your kids didn't give you a pat on the back to say thank you, even for this Mother's Day, and that just know, your Father in heaven is saying you're just storing all your riches up in heaven. And that he rewards everyone based on what they did in his name. What they did with what he gave them. And he gave you a call. Mothers, it's a call. And you have all of heaven's resources behind you and for you. The third would be compassion and care. I say this a lot, you know, when my kids, when they were really little and they used to come running and that in from hurting and a boo-boo on their hand, you know, if they came to me, I'd look at it and sure, if it was bleeding, I'd put something on. But first thing I'd be saying, oh, this one hurts. You know what? Hey, let me fix it for you. And I'd go to try and bite another one or something and they, oh, no, I don't want that. Then they'd laugh and they'd break out of their crying and then we'd be okay. We could handle it. But the kids started to learn. If I'm really hurt and it really hurts, they just come to mom. And mom had this way of caring for them, had this way of pulling them in tight And they just felt this part of warmth come through their body in the midst of the pain and hurt that they were in. I mean, it's a special gift, moms, that you have. Us guys really don't have it. Some guys have a little bit more in tune to it than others, but it's a special gift that you have of compassion and care. The fourth is probably the most important. And that's that prayer warrior. Pressing in and praying. Don't ever stop praying for your kids, for your grandkids, for your husband, for your marriage, for their marriages, and that for their futures. Don't stop praying, because your prayers are powerful and effective to pull down strongholds of the enemy. Your prayers are powerful and effective to pull down strongholds of the enemy. Not only over your life, but over the lives of your family, over the lives of this community, over the lives of our country. And lastly, and that of important qualities, is that part of the child's counselor. How many people have ever heard that part when your kid became about 13, 14, 15, and that all of a sudden you were told, you know what, kids don't listen to you anymore. Doesn't matter what you say, it's their friends now. It's all about their friends. It's not about you anymore. You lost your turn. I know I might be saying it a little different, but I think we've all heard that at one point in time. Counselors telling us, others telling us, and everything else. You know what it was? It's just a ploy from the enemy of Satan himself. There is no greater voice in your child's life for the rest of their life than you. No greater source of blessing and counsel and love and care. Why? Because you've already shown them through your body, through your life, moms, there is unconditional love here. There is sacrificial, that you are willing to sacrifice for their better and their good. So don't let the enemy rob your voice. Now, you might need to choose your words a little different. You might need to choose timing and that, because those are all important. But please don't go silent in your child's life, because they need to hear from you. You can be a good mother. Can God save your child despite you? Of course. But if you're a Christian mother, he means for you to play a part, a good integral part in their story. Does being a Christian mother ensure that your children will be saved? By no means. But rest assured that if he saves your children, he intends to use you as one of the pointers to his glorious saving grace. You might not be the one that actually takes that last step with your child, but that's okay. It doesn't really matter who, as long as they are. Amen? Right? That's the heart of it all. But just know that you are very vital in your child coming to know the Lord, staying and remaining in the Lord, because of your prayers and because of your efforts. They have never gone unnoticed. They've planted seeds deep within inside. It might not be the green peas. It might be something else, but there will be those nuggets that have been planted inside that will always shape your child's life. And even if there was some tough times and some difficult things, God has a way to bring divine amnesia in, and that to switch things around, and all it takes is one little switch in the heart. Something you can't do, but God can do as we begin to pray. And that's why we cannot forget to pray. Christ's goodness transforms our hearts and our actions and makes them good. It's not because we're better or because we've earned it, not because we no longer are sinful at all. We aren't the Savior. Jesus is. We're his ambassadors. Mums, you're his ambassador. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says that. We know the goodness of another. We just know. We know the Lord, and therefore we have something to offer. Listen, mums, as we close today, you can be good mothers because you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And now you give taste of him to your children as the goodness pours out of you. Psalms 34:8. You can be good mothers because Christ has laid down his life for you so that you can lay your lives down for them. You can be good mothers because you've been forgiven of your sins and now you can forgive your children. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. You can be good mothers because at the foot of the cross, you can get the grace to repent and turn from any sinful habit or anything that would hold you back. And you also, at that same foot of the cross, you can be filled over and over and over again by Holy Spirit. One of the fruit of the Spirit is goodness. Goodness. See, the very goodness of God is inside of you, not based off of what you did or not did, but because He's there. He's the one that changes everything. He's the one that makes all the difference. You can be good mothers. Why? Because we recognize He is good. And He dwells inside of everyone that calls Him Lord and Savior. And where we are weak, He takes over. So I just encourage you this morning, and that moms, ladies, how much we value you. In society has gone through all sorts of weird and wonderful warps and turns and everything else, some for good, some for not so good. But in that part is remember like that little video we watched earlier with a lady as she began to speak out. Moms, remember, yeah, you are a mom. But remember, you are a woman first. And there is some dreams and some things that God has placed inside of you that you've had to put on hold. At least you thought they were on hold, but I'm telling you they weren't. Every part of your life is a training ground to bring you to everything that God has. He links it all together. So don't give up on dreams that God has placed in your heart. It might seem like they're on hold. It might seem like, wow, it's been so long ago, I can barely remember. But God knows every single one of those desires of your heart. And God will bring them back to you. And He will cause them to be fulfilled. And that as the Lord leads you and guides you into the goodness of God. He hasn't forgotten you. In fact, you reflect Jesus very well by just being a mom. And so we want to honor you at this time. I'm going to ask if the ladies would stand and come and join me here for a moment with just a small token, but we also want to take a moment to pray with you and over you, and that is we are so thankful for your life. While they're coming at this time, I'm going to just take a moment to say, if you have yet to call your mom, then please call your mom before today. Honor her. And that if she's still living and breathing on this earth, even if it's a long distance call, even if it's a tough call, and it's a really difficult one, I'm going to encourage you, make the call. Even if you feel like, oh my goodness, it could turn out to be really difficult, just make the call. Hey, mom, I only have a few moments, but I want you to know this and this is what I remember, and I am thankful for you. Amen? And if you have a hard time of thinking something, and that talking to everyone in behind right now, not only everyone here, but if you can't think of anything else, just say, you know what, mom, I'm just calling to say thank you that you gave me birth, that I'm alive today because of you. And that I'm here, and I'm whatever future, whatever you're doing, is because you sacrificed yourself. And so, moms, thank you for sharing Jesus with us all by your sacrifice. Willingness to sacrifice your body, willingness to sacrifice so many other things in your life, just so us as kids and that can grow up and see what it truly means to put others first before ourselves. What a great example, and we want to say thank you for that. And that we do have a little token, and that you can take and plant in your garden, and that as a reminder of the seeds, as a reminder of the things that you have planted in your children, they will grow. They will grow. So just keep watering, keep loving on, because they will grow, and they will come into that part. So let's pray. And that everyone else, can we stretch our hands forth? Maybe your mom's not here today. And that, ladies, if you're in the place, you're more than welcome to please come up. And that because every one of us, whether we're a physical mom or not, every one of the ladies, you make that investment spiritually into other people. And that, but let's pray. And that, stretch our hands forth and give them thanks. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you right now, God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, from a child's heart, thank you for our moms. Thank you for the example that they give us over and over again of what it truly means to sacrifice, what it truly means to put others first. Oh God, they get taken for granted all the time. Then Jesus, I think about you, and you got taken for granted too. Yet, Lord, the example I see from our moms is they just keep going. They're better than the Energizer or Duracell battery. Well, they just keep going, Lord, and that again I see in you, Jesus. You went all the way. There was nothing that could stop you. No death, no hell, no grave. And so I thank you for moms and the example that I see in motherhood that challenged me every day of what it means to be more like you, Jesus. So, Lord, I pray and thank you for each and every one here today. Lord, I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, you would just take a little broom and you just dust off any shoulders that feel regret or feel weight. God, we are weak and we are frail. That's not an excuse, Lord, but, Lord, we fail every day. Lord, we fall short every day. But, God, you said we can come boldly before your throne room, not based on our glory or our goodness or our greatness, but based on Jesus. And so may they stand today and may they hold their head up, knowing that every step and that Lord, you have been glorified. God, through the good, the bad, and the ugly moments, Lord, how we handle or where we're at now compared to where we were before is all an echo of you. And so thank you, Lord. He that began a good work will complete it. So we speak blessing and favor over each and every mom, and we say thank you for their lives. Their investment is not gone unnoticed, and we are thankful for it. Like King Lemuel, we declare, thank you, mom, for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Abby will help you with grabbing a little plant over here. And we just want to say again on behalf of Rockcliffe and that we would not be a church. We would not be complete if this room was just men. We would not be complete in that if it was just fathers and kids and it was no moms. In that you help complete this body into all that God has intended to be. So God bless you. We love you. And happy Mother's Day to each and every one of you.